that singing tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord.
That's right.
I've been working with Miss Rachel for a long time, and I finally... Y'all act like y'all don't believe that. Turn with me in your Bibles tonight to the book of Jude. The book of Jude. One little book there right in front of the book of Revelation. And I tell you, I have enjoyed the singing tonight and been a good spirit. And we're thankful for good singing. But I tell you, what's more important than singing is the Word of God. And so let's open up our hearts. Let's open up our ears and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts tonight as we look at this very important subject, and that is contending for the faith. Jude chapter 1, let's look in verse number 3. We'll begin reading verse 3. Let's just read verses 1 through 4 there. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God, God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unaware, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's bow for prayer. Now, Lord, as we come before you tonight, we sure do need your help. Lord, I'd ask that you would just bless. Lord, use the message tonight. Lord, help us as a warning. Lord, help us to have our hearts prepared. Lord, help us to be solid and grounded in doctrine. Lord, because you've told us that that's the way that we combat this enemy. Lord, the devil has tried to use men and women, and Lord, he's tried to use everything possible to try to destroy our faith and destroy the church. And Lord, we sure do need your help. And I pray that you'd bless, you'd use the message tonight, Lord, to speak to each and every heart here tonight. Lord, give us what we have need of, and we sure will thank you. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. What would you do, just to think for a minute, but to get our minds prepared for the message, what would you do if you saw a baby in a car on a hot day with the windows rolled up? You're walking through the parking lot there, and you see it, and by the way, you know, that happens on a regular basis. Well, you know, there's people that would do that, bust a window. There's people that would call for help. There's people that would stand there and say, I don't know what I should do. I don't know if I should intervene. I mean, if I break this window out, is this going to cause trouble? Is this baby really in danger? There's a lot of different ways we could look at that, a lot of different things to think. But you think about it. Now, I know what we all of us would say, well, I'm going to do the right thing, every one of us. None of us in here would say, well, I'm not going to do the wrong thing. We all say, I'm going to do the right thing, and I'll do what's right. But that's not always the case. Sometimes we're paralyzed by fear. Sometimes we don't know what to do. And there's a lot of things that could be done. What about your best friend is involved in some kind of secret sin, and you know it? What do you do? What would you do? I mean, this person that you know, I mean, they're your good friend, but you know they're going in the wrong direction. And you know if something doesn't happen, their life could be ruined. What do you do? What are you going to do about that? Would you go to them? Would you talk to them? Would you confront them? Or would you say, maybe somebody else could do that? Maybe I'll tell the preacher. Maybe I'll get one of the pastoral staff to go by and talk to them. What would you do? What about if our pastor? What about our church or our Bible college or Sunday school teacher? did or said something not biblical. They started saying some things or preaching and teaching some things. And by the way, when I say that, this is just an example. I'm not telling you something that's going on. I'm just wanting you to. I thought about that as I was thinking. Don't get the wrong idea. We're just trying to get our minds here to think. But what do you do? You know, there's churches all over America that are closing their doors. Churches all over America that have turned the wrong way, gone the wrong way. And you know what Jude was saying here. He says, now listen, it's not that if it happens, but really he's saying when this happens. It's going to happen. Earnestly. This is what we've got to do. Earnestly contend for the faith. What do we do? Somebody starts drifting or the doctrine is, you know, it's just not right or whatever it is, and people start drifting from the faith. I tell you, it's something to think about. Because it happens. It happens all the time. I tell you, we probably don't realize how fortunate we are to have the church that we have and to be a part of this church. I tell you, this church has been strong from its very beginning. This church has been strong because we base everything that we do on the Bible, on the Word of God. And that's the way it ought to be, and that's the way it's got to be. And that's not, by the way, it's the only way it'll stay true. You can't base it on a man. You can't base it on a personality because men change. Personalities come and go. But I'm going to tell you what, the Word of God stands forever. And this is our foundation. This is what we stand on here. Many Bible colleges have gone the way of the world. And I tell you, we should be doing everything that we can to make sure our church is right and what it needs to be. Because I don't know about you, but I want my children to have a place that they can come to where the Word of God is preached. I want my grandchildren to be able to have a place, to have a church that they can go to where the Word of God is preached, and they'll have opportunity to be saved and to live for God. You know, our nation was founded on Christian principles. This nation was. We were established because people wanted to be free to worship God. They wanted to propagate the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God blessed and God opened up this opportunity for this nation to be born. And I'm gonna tell you what, there's been so many good things that's happened, but guess what? Our church was founded on it. I mean, our nation was founded on it. But I'm gonna tell you what, you'd be hard pressed to say that we're still living what God would have us to do in our nation. Now, I know we can't change the world, and we're not here to change the world. But I'm gonna tell you what, even Christians, we've just slipped. We've not contended for the faith, earnestly contended for the faith, like I believe God wants us to. And I believe there's still things, we're still doing great things, and I believe there's a lot more that can be done and will be done. Missionaries are going out, people are getting saved. I believe all that. But I'm going to tell you what, folks, we've got to wake up. Our nation was founded on Christian principles. Many Bible colleges were started. Many of our colleges were started as Bible colleges. Most of the Ivy League colleges were started as schools to train preachers. Harvard, Yale, and I tell you, you wouldn't find that on campus today. Matter of fact, they would probably run you off if they didn't burn you at the stake. Now, what happened? What happened? Well, we know what happened. They didn't contend for the faith. They didn't contend for it. They let it slip. Denominations were started to spread the gospel. And you know, you would have to agree that there's the main line denominations today. If you were not saved and you went to those churches, they would be a more than a good chance, a better chance of you not being saved than it would be a chance of you being saved. They don't preach the gospel anymore. They don't preach. They don't teach and preach what they were founded on, what they were based on. You're right. Why is that? Why is that? Well, he tells us here exactly what's going on. Nobody contended for the faith. You see, they saw that baby in the car, or they saw that friend going astray, or however we want to say it, and they didn't do anything about it. They didn't confront them with the truth. They didn't stop them and say, and I'm going to tell you, I'm telling you, what we're saying tonight, what we're talking about tonight, I tell you, it's a hard thing. It's hard to stand up and be the only one standing and say, you know what, this is wrong. It's hard to do that. And I tell you, if God's not with you, you're not going to do it. If you're not where you need to be with God, you're just not going to do it. We're not going to do it. But I'm going to tell you what, that's not what the Lord wants for us. He wants us to stand for what's right. He wants us to stand for the truth. And if we don't, we can't pass this off on anybody else. Listen, it's not the preacher's job. It's not my job. It's everybody's job. We are all to earnestly contend for the faith. We got to stand for what's right. We have to be the ones that says, you know, enough's enough. We have to be the ones that says no more. We have got to be the ones that says that we're going to do right no matter what anybody else does. Joshua said it. As for me and my house, we're going to serve God. Do you remember back in the Old Testament and over in the book of Deuteronomy when God says, listen, I brought you out of Egypt. I've brought you out, Deuteronomy 6. I've brought you out that I might bring you in. And he said, listen, I've got something better for you. I've got a place for you. I got a place of rest for you to enter into. But you know what? God brought them up to it, but he didn't force them to go in. He didn't make them go in. He said, listen, I've got it all prepared. It's all ready for you. You're the one that's got to go in. And you know what they did? They didn't go in. They said, we can't do it. We can't trust God. We can't believe God. We don't believe that God's going to be able to protect us. And he's not really going to give us the land. And you know what? God says, okay, if that's what you believe, then I'm not going to give you the land. I'm not going to bring you in. I'm not going to let you go in. And he didn't do it. Well, in the book of Deuteronomy, it goes on, and there's a passage of Scripture there that says that there was a generation that rose up that didn't know God. And you know, that's exactly what he's trying to say right here. If we don't stand for the faith, if we do not try to make a difference in people's lives, our children, our family's life, if we don't do that, then there's going to raise up a generation that doesn't know God. And it's going to be exactly what he's talking about here. Hold your Bible up. We want to look at several different passages tonight. Turn with me to the book of Acts real quick. We're just going to look at some verses. I want you to see some passages here where the Bible talks about what's going to happen, what's going to take place. There, of course, the book of Acts is, of course, talks about and is telling us a lot about the church and how it started and you know how it's going to continue on and those kind of things. There's a lot of information in here about the church. And isn't it interesting, in Acts chapter number 20, he tells us some things that's going to happen. Here's some predictions that he has. Acts chapter 20, verse number 29. Look at what he says here. He says, for I know this, Paul is saying, he says, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. What is he saying here? He's saying, listen, as soon as I leave, I know what's going to happen. The devil is going to send somebody in here. He's going to send, as it were, a wolf to come in among the sheep. But he's going to send this wolf in here. Why? To destroy and attack and tear up the sheep. That's what he's going to do. Look what it goes on. Look at verse number 30 there. Also of your own self shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. What is he saying here? He's saying not only are the wolves going to get in, it's going to be an open attack, but there's also going to be men that's going to come in hidden. And they're going to come in, and they're going to speak things, and they're going to teach things. And what are they going to do? What's their purpose? They're going to try to draw disciples away. They're going to try to draw the saved people away. Guess what happens to believers all the time, Christians all the time? Guess what happens to them? Somebody comes to their door, knocks on their door, comes in, says, hey, I'd like to have a Bible study with you. And they sit down with them, and they start talking about the Bible, and they mention Jesus and talk. The next thing you know, they're teaching something else. And you know what? Because people are not grounded, they're not solid in their faith, they're easily drawn away. And the next thing you know, they've joined with a group that doesn't even believe the Bible. And we think to ourselves, how does this happen? Well, he tells us here. He tells us, listen, folks, this is what's going to happen. And you got to be on guard for it. You got to beware. You see, the devil has never put his approval on the church. He is never going to leave the church alone. He is always going to attack. He's going to attack and attack and attack, and he'll never give up. Folks, we got to be ready. We got to be prepared. We got to be warned. We're being warned here tonight, but we got to know this is coming, and we got to be prepared for it. All right. Let me turn over to the book of 2 Thessalonians. Let's look at another passage here. All right, 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 2. All right, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse number 3. The Bible says, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Here he's talking about in the last days. He said, listen, just mark it down. That day's not going to come. The Lord's not coming back except there's a falling away. There's going to be a falling away. There's going to be people that's going to leave. I'm talking about the believers are going to leave and turn their back on the church, and they're going to leave. There's going to be a great falling away. There's going to be a great. And by the way, can we not say that it seems like that's going on today, isn't it? It seems like there's a great falling away. It seems like, I tell you, I don't know about you, but it's hard to get people to come to church. We're talking about Friend Day here, and I'm telling you what, it used to be that, you know, you could get some people to come, but it's hard to get people to come to church anymore. The world has put such a negative spin on Christianity that people don't want anything to do with the church. They don't want anything to do with Christians. And I'm going to tell you what, it's getting to the point, and it's going to be there. I don't know if you read or you saw or you heard where this lady was going to be, was nominated to be a judge, and some of the Democratic folks there on that committee were asking her and telling her, because she is a Roman Catholic, that they were afraid that her religion would have an effect on how she would rule. And do you know that that's one of the fundamentals of our Constitution, is we're to have freedom of religion. Government is not to have anything to do with that. They're not to have any laws or any rules or regulations that restrict any kind of religion. By the way, as a Christian, I don't agree with every religion out there, but I'll tell you what, they have just as much right to have freedom of their religion as we do freedom of our religion. By the way, if they don't have freedom of religion, we won't have it either. And folks, I'm going to tell you, there's going to come a day. There's coming a day, and it's probably closer than we think, that we're going to have to suffer some persecution. We're going to have to suffer some things, because if we do, like Jude says, earnestly contend for the faith, there's going to be some repercussions because of that. Look over at 2 Peter, if you would. Let's look at a couple more verses, and then we'll go back to the book of Jude. In 2 Peter, chapter 2, 2 Peter, chapter 2, in verses number 1, the Bible says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall come in, shall bring in damnable heresies. Now, what is he talking about? What is a damnable heresy? Well, a damnable heresy is anything that's taught that is false, and if people believe this teaching that's false, if they believe it, they will because of what's being taught, and they believe it, it means that they're not going to be saved. They're going to die in their sins and go to hell, being deceived by some religious leader. damnable heresies. Means that, let me give you an example. There's a group of folks that believe you have to be baptized in order to be saved. That's a damnable heresy. If you believe that you have to be baptized in order to be saved, you'll die in your sins and go to hell. Now, folks, I know we'd say good people in that, but I'm telling you, folks, if they teach a false doctrine, if they teach error, and it causes people to go to hell, how can we call those people good? How can we call them good? And folks, I know that, and I'm not here trying to criticize and, you know, cast off on other denominations. I'm not doing that, but I'm just trying to be honest with us. And I want us to understand, I want us to hear that, folks. I'm just going to tell you, we shouldn't have anything to do with that. We can't have anything to do with it. You know, the Bible says if they come to your door, and I'm paraphrasing, if they come to your door and they're bringing heresy, false doctrine, the Bible says we're not even to say God bless you. You know, I don't know if that's in the Bible or not, but slam the door in their face. You know, we don't have to be ugly for people. We're going to mention that in just a minute. But you know, folks, listen. We're not to ask God to bless them. We're not to ask God to go with them, because God's not going to go with them. They're teaching damnable heresy. They're damning people to hell because of their false doctrine. It's serious. It's serious. By the way, if your family, you had a family member that was in that, you'd see a little bit how serious it could be. Because if they're in that and they're deceived, they're not going to go to heaven. All right? And so he says here, he tells them, that they're going to bring in false teaching, damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon them swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Do you see that? Many will follow their way. Many is going to follow them. All right? And folks, I'm just going to tell you, this is a serious thing. It's a serious thing, and I tell you, we've got to ask God to help us to stand for what's right and what's true. The book of Jude is divided in two parts. The first thing I want us to see here is the duty that we have. The Bible tells us in verse 3 that we're to earnestly contend for the faith. Our faith was once delivered, but it must be contended for in each generation. The Bible passage says it was needful. It's needful. This is something that's needful to do. It's something I believe it's absolutely necessary for us to do. We have to do this. Contending for the faith is not simply a good idea. It's not a good idea. It's something that we must do. Every Christian should earnestly contend for the faith. You know, one of the great things that we have here at our church, one of the great benefits that we have, and that is a Bible college. And I'm thankful for these men. How many men, if you would, young men, you stand up. If God's called you to preach, and you're going to be a pastor, a missionary, an evangelist, whatever it is, would you stand up? All right, look at these men right here. Turn around so they can see you. It's not that they want to see you, but look so they can see you. All right, these men right here, these men, they're our future. Praise God for them. Amen. Every one of us ought to write down these men's name, get to know them, and let them know you're going to be praying for them. These men are going to carry the faith. They're going to carry it on. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. You don't know what a blessing that is to be able to have some men that are God called to preach. Amen. And they have given their life. They've given up everything, to be honest. Can I just be honest with you? They've given up everything. You see, they said, God, it doesn't matter what my job is. It doesn't matter what my career thoughts were, what my career plans were. God, my life is in your hands. And I tell you what, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful to be able to be a part of that. I was saved at Calvary Baptist Church. September the 9th, 1984, I got saved. And God called me to preach 2 years later. And I trained at Calvary Baptist Bible College. God sent me to Virginia. I pastored up there for 5 years. And I figured I would be there. I really figured I'd be there the rest of my life, but God allowed me to come back. And I've been here for 20 years. Over 20 years, going on 21 years. And I tell you what, the training that I received while I was here, I wouldn't take anything for it. There's not another school anywhere in America that I would have rather went to. I'm glad that God raised up Calvary Baptist Bible College. And I'm thankful for these men. Now, by the way, we've got some fine young ladies that are in here also. Now, they're not training to be preachers. Hallelujah. Okay? They might think they are, but they're not. Okay? But listen, it's an exciting thing to see people where God is working in their lives. And they're surrendering their life to go serve the Lord. They're giving their life to earnestly contend for the faith. Now, you know what? Here's what's going to happen to these guys. They think when they get out, they've got all the answers. I went through 4 years. I've got it right here, buddy. I've got it written down. I know what's going to happen. I know what I'm going to do. But you know what? There's going to be all kinds of pressure put on them to compromise, to join up with us and join up with this group and do all these things. And if they're not careful, you know what will happen to them? They'll go the way of Jude here, where they don't earnestly contend for the faith, and they go astray, and they go off the reservation, as it were. They go on their own way. And folks, listen, I'm telling you, that happens all the time. And that's the reason why it's so important that we pray for these guys. I mean, we need to pray for these men, that God would bless and keep them safe and help them to stay true to the faith. Folks, if they don't stay true, where are the churches going? Where are the men going to come from? I'm going to tell you, most of the colleges around here, I tell you, it's very few Bible colleges that we can recommend. Very few. Now, I'm sure there's no doubt there's more colleges that we don't know about. I'm sure of that. But I'm telling you, it's few and far between. By the way, it's hard to find a church when somebody says they're moving. Would you help us find a church? We'll say, we'll try. We'll try, because I'm telling you, it's hard to find a good church. Now, folks, listen. We got to get serious about this thing of earnestly contending for the faith. Folks, we've got to make a stand. We've got to be true to the Word of God. We've got to make a difference. And if we don't, folks, I'm telling you, I don't believe we really understand how serious this thing is. Let me read you. I wrote this down. I thought this was good. We contend for the faith when we stand for what we find in the Word of God. We contend for the faith when we strengthen and holding up the hands of those who are teaching and preaching God's Word. We contend for the faith when we encourage the pastor. We contend for the faith when we give out gospel literature. We contend for the faith when we stand in a Sunday school class and teach the truth to others. We contend for the faith when we resist error and call it by name. Folks, listen, we've got to contend for the faith. Hold your place there, if you would. Turn over to the book of Ephesians real quick. And I want to read you a passage of Scripture over here that should help us and encourage us at the same time. In Ephesians chapter 6, he talks about here, he talks about the warfare that every Christian should be involved in. He says, and of course we know we understand that it's not a physical warfare, it's a spiritual warfare that we have. And look at what he says, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You see what he's saying here? He's saying, don't be strong in your power, be strong in the Lord. Folks, listen, we can't fight against the devil. We have no power to fight against the devil. The only hope that we have, the only chance that we have, is if we're strong in the Lord. We've got to be strong in the Lord. Well, how do we do that? Well, if we don't know our Bible, if we don't spend time with God, spend time in the Word here, how can we be strong in the Lord? How can we do it? We can't. And folks, listen, it's so important for us as Christians to be the example that God wants us to be. We've got to be strong in the Lord. We've got to know the Word. We've got to live the Word in order to make a difference in our life. Folks, listen. If God's Word makes no difference in your life, then there's just something wrong. He needs to make a difference. He will make a difference in your life. There's no doubt about it. But he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Look at verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now he tells us here, listen, God says, listen, I'm going to equip you to be able. I'm going to give you everything you need to stand against the devil. But he goes on and he says, now listen, verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. God says, here, I'm giving you this. This is going to be your help. This is going to help you to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It's going to help you to stand against him. But you've got to put it on. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, what does he say? Stand. There comes a time, folks, where we just got to stand. I mean, we just got to stand. Now listen, God says, I'll be with you. I'll help you. I'll give you everything that you need. But you got to stand. You got to stand. If we don't stand, who will? Who will? If we don't live for God, who will? If we don't be the example, if we're not the example for God, who's going to be the example? Folks, listen, the world, I know it's hard to understand this, but the world still looks at us and they say, what's wrong with those people? Why are they different? I tell you, just about all the time when I go through town, people ask me, what are y'all doing down there? I said, what are you talking about? What do you mean? He said, well, every time we go by there, there's the parking lot's full of cars. What are y'all doing down there? Well, what do you think we're doing? We're selling drugs and, you know, we've got a steal in the back, you know. What do you think we're doing? Well, people, I'm going to tell you, the world don't understand. They don't understand it. There was a preacher that, you know, I can't recommend him anymore, but there was a preacher that said he made a lot of sense one time. He said this. He said, Every time that we fail to come to church, it's just like voting to close the church doors. Folks, I'm telling you, every time we drive by, every time we pull in this parking lot, people drive by, whether they realize it or not, we're witnessing and testifying to them there's something going on. God makes a difference in your life. He changes people. And folks, listen, I know people notice it, and I'm telling you, people watch our life. Folks, that's the reason why it's so important that we stand for God. We are the only Bible that most people will see. We're the only representative of God that most people will see. It's hard to get people to church, and you know, all these things, but I tell you what about that ambassador that comes on the job there every day? That's supposed to be the shining example of this is what God can do for you. This is what how God can change your life and work in your life. You know? And folks, before we start, you know, pointing fingers and saying, what's wrong with these people? Why don't they come to church? You know, we might need to look at ourselves and examine ourselves and say, what kind of testimony am I on the job? What kind of witness am I on the job? Am I pointing people to Christ, or am I pointing them to something else? Am I the example Christ wants me to be? Can he work in a lost man's heart and say, look at that man's life over there. Look at that man. Look how he lives. Look how he loves me. Look how he serves me. You know, can the Lord trust you with that? I'll tell you, folks, it's an important thing. It's important, but he says, having done all, we've got to stand. We've got to stand. Contend with convictions. Everything that we do must be Bible-based. We must not change what is proven and tested and has been given to us based on the Word of God. You know, this church has stood for what's right and true for 48 years. This year, this coming up, this is our 48th year. Now, I'm going to tell you what. Do you know how fortunate we were, how blessed we were of God when Preacher Baker... He left, and really Preacher Baker was the one, you know, that really brought the, God used him to bring the church along. But you know how fortunate we were to be able to have a pastor to come in and follow right in that same vein? Amen. And hold the line? Do you know how unusual that is for a new pastor to come in and that church not turn around and go backwards or go sideways? It's unusual. It's unusual. I know Tom Malone, many of you would know or recognize that name, but Tom Malone built a great church up in Pontiac, Michigan. Bible college, I mean a great church, huge church. And he got old, on up in age, and he finally retired and he left and brought a new man in. He ruined it, the church. Tom Malone came back and took that church over again. I think he did that another time. But as far as I know, you don't hear anything out of that church anymore. I know of a church in Tennessee that I went to, and somebody, I think it was Brother Harper, was talking about it the other day. Church in Tennessee, Highland Park Baptist Church, Lee Robertson. Man, I was there. I went there to the Southwide, and I mean, you could go in that church, and I'm telling you, it was exciting. Go back and look and see some of the pictures there of where they'd have pictures of their services. And I don't know how many people will fit in that auditorium, but I mean, it is huge, and it was standing room only. And they had pictures, they'd have big days, and thousands of people were going there, and thousands of people were saved. But you know what? If you go there today, if we got in our bus and we drove, took everybody over there today, you know what you'd find? You'd find weeds growing up in the parking lot. Why? They didn't contend for the faith. They didn't take it serious. And they let somebody creep in, and they took that church over, and they ruined it. They took it in the wrong direction. They took it a different way. Folks, that happens all the time. Happens all the time. Good churches, good men start these churches, and God uses them in a great way. Folks, listen, this is serious business. We have got to get to the place to where we realize, folks, how fortunate we are. And I tell you, listen, we can't let this thing go. We can't let this thing die. It's too important. The world, even though they don't know it and understand it and realize it, the world is counting on churches like Calvary Baptist Church. If this church goes, you think of the outreach. Do you know anybody else that has the outreach that we have? And I'm not bragging, saying we're somebody special. I'm not saying that at all. Nothing at all. It ain't got a thing to do with us, how being special or nothing like that. But do you realize the people, the influence that we have in this community? Can you imagine what it would be like if these doors were closed? It'd be awful. It'd be awful. But guess what? We're just a whisper away. If we don't stand up. By the way, like I said, it's not always the pastor's fault. It's not always his responsibility. It's everybody's. We have to earnestly contend for the faith. Second thing I want you to see real quick, and that is the danger here. He says in verse 4 that certain men crept in unawares. Here were people. And by the way, you know the most effective way the devil can work is from inside the church. It's the most effective way. He does more damage. He's more effective in the church than he is outside. You see, if he's coming, he's beating on the door, well, we can lock the door. We don't have to let him in. But if he's already here, you see, we may not detect it. We may not see it. We may not know it. That's the reason why it's so important that you know your Bible. That's the reason why it's so important that you understand what God says. And you know what the faith, you know what it is. And you're grounded in the Word of God, because it's up to us to make sure that this work goes on. Here's what, there's two things that they did here. They made the grace of God into a license to sin. In other words, they said, because we're saved, we can live any way that we want to. And that's just not true. You see, they gave it a license to sin. They said, well, listen, we're already saved. We can do what we want to do. They also denied the work of Christ on the cross. Folks, can I tell you that one of the One of the million-dollar question to you want to talk to anybody about their religion is, what do you think about Jesus? And if they don't give you the right answer on Jesus, then you know they're wrong. Jesus is the only way of salvation. He's the only way. There's no other way. Nothing else can get you to heaven but Jesus Christ and what He did for you on the cross. And folks, anytime you add anything to it, if you take a step beyond that, Jesus and, you've gone too far. It's Jesus and Him alone. And so, folks, we need to understand that. And then the last thing, I'm just to tell you, here's what He said to do. Verse 20 and verse 21, He says, building up yourself in the faith. What is He talking about there? He's saying, make sure you know your Bible. Make sure you're grounded and you know what the Bible has to say. Not only that, but He says, praying in the Holy Spirit. Why is that so important? You see, it's the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is the one that will guide us into all truth. He's the one that lives within us that helps us to be able to tell the truth from error. He is our guide. He is our helper. And He'll help us with that. And then the last thing He says here is waiting for the return of the Lord. You know what? Why the return or waiting for or looking for the return of the Lord is so important. The Bible says that when we do that, if we expect the Lord to come back, it'll affect the way we live our life. It'll cause us to live a different life. If we thought we were going to stand before the Lord tonight, we'd have a different attitude. We'd have a different spirit. And folks, all these things are so important. Folks, earnestly contend for the faith. Let's bow our heads.